All right, good morning. What I want to do, I guess, this morning, a lot of you have heard, you've read in the farm press, you've heard people talk about it, you've heard it in the general session from a lot of different people, but what I want to talk a little bit about is the experiences that we went through or the problems we had this year with tarnished plant bugs. If you were not in the Delta area of the Mid-South, some of it's almost hard to believe. And what I want to do is I guess I want to kind of tell you a little bit about what we saw. There'll be a little bit of overlap on what you saw in the general session, if you heard my talk there, just by nature of what the topic was there. And there will be a little bit of overlap with some of Ralph's presentations, and I'll get into that. But really what I want to do is just kind of introduce you to some of the things that we saw this year and talk about some of the things we plan on doing in the future. This is the cotton losses. You always hear about the cotton losses. This is what Mike Williams puts together. You saw some of this in the previous slides. I want to show you what we've got for 2007. Now, first of all, let me just say in Mississippi, we have two distinct regions in Mississippi. And when you hear us talking about plant bugs in Mississippi, even if we don't reference it, really what we're talking about is the Delta. It is vastly different between the hill section of Mississippi and the Delta. Now, this is the average for the state of Mississippi. What the numbers are you're looking at is on the axis there, you're looking at bales lost, and I just put the number of sprays that we had on top. So this is how our pests broke out as a state. But really, I don't know real how useful when you look at just Mississippi it is, because the regions are absolutely so different. This is Mississippi for the whole state, the average. This is the Delta region. We averaged 7.5 sprays in the Delta for plant bugs this year. That's unprecedented for us. In fact, 2004 was unprecedented. Prior to this mark, we averaged 5.2 sprays. Now, we conducted a series of surveys this year during the season and a big one after the season. During the season, I guess it was early August, we had a little consultants meeting in the Delta, and I put together a small survey to try to get a handle on this thing, just to be armed with a little bit of information on where we were at. We had 158,000 acres represented in this survey amongst the consultants that were at this meeting. That's 35% of the acres in the Delta. Well, the scale I made on the little form I put together right before the meeting was not high enough. I stopped it at 10 sprays. 45% of that 150,000 acres represented in that survey at that time had 10 or more sprays. That was the top of my category. I thought I should have went higher. I didn't realize it at the time. Another 35% of those acres surveyed had between 7 and 10 sprays. Well, after I did that, I realized that I didn't have my scale high enough to really capture the upper limits, and at the end of the season, I sent out another survey that we're still working through, and I dare to say we probably got 85% of all the cotton in Mississippi included in this survey, so we had a great response. But, you know, before the meeting, what I did is I went through and I looked at some of the upper limits in the Delta just to get a handle in the real bad areas what kind of number of spray applications we had during these areas. And what we had was about 25,000 acres in those areas was sprayed between 14 and 16 times. We won't be able to sustain growing cotton in these areas if that continues in that manner. Now, let me contrast that with the hills, and this ain't far away. I live in the hills. I drive to the Delta every day to do the work. That's where the bugs are. We only had about 0.6 sprays for plant bugs in the hills. So the two regions of the state are vastly different. I just kind of wanted to set that up, because when we talk about it, a lot of times we tend to drop off the hills and Delta, but the Delta area is where we're really having the issues. Now I kind of want to set up kind of what we saw this year and how this thing began. Now keep in mind, in Mississippi, at least in the Delta part of Mississippi, when we spray plant bugs, typically probably 60 to 70% of the total sprays that we're going to have in a season generally occur from about July 15th through about mid-August. That's when the sprays happen for us in Mississippi. This year was a lot different. We had some trials. We happened to be set up with some trials working with Jeff Gore there at Stoneville. We had some trials set up. I mean, we were in the epicenter of the problem, so we were able to see this day in and day out. This was a particular trial that that we had. This was Big Plots, Cotton Incorporated sponsored trial. But I just want to put this in here just to kind of set up what this problem was this year. This was at Pinhead Square. This is the first 3 weeks of square in the cotton that we had. From the very first time we started putting squares on in the field, we were averaging about 31% plant bugs in a sweep net, and square retention was 69%. We made an application. We come back the next week, At the next week, square retention went to about 60%. The number of bugs actually went up. We were about 34%. We sprayed again. The next week, and this is, mind you, this is pinhead square. We're talking about early in the season. The next week, total number of bugs after another application went up to about 48%. Square retention dropped down to 39%. So what we were dealing with was a lot of migrating adults coming into the field. And if you look at those lines, I mean, they're almost an inverse. Seemed like the more you sprayed, the more bugs you had. So real quickly, we were figuring out certainly a once-a-week check was not soon enough with all these migrating adults. And we were right next to a cornfield here. But the problem started early, and I guess that's what I want to stress here. This was not normal, you know, just moderate or light pressure early in the season. This thing started at Pinhead Square in those areas of the Delta, and it persisted for a long period of time. All right, this is you saw this slide probably a couple times. This is my technician. This is some of the cotton in the field where you saw the numbers from the previous slide. I mean, this cotton was about 8 foot tall. We basically had no fruit on it. This was sprayed 11 times. We needed to spray it more. We quit on it. We didn't quit on it because we wanted to give up on the cotton. We didn't think we could do that. We quit on it because it was a test, and you can't run samples in 8 or 9 foot cotton with any accuracy. We wasn't controlling the plant bugs, and we certainly couldn't use our drop cloth that we had started with, so we pretty much abandoned this cotton. But this was typical of many fields that we actually seen, even production fields in some cases. And this is where we at. This is a real popular slide that Roger Leonard put together a while back, but I like showing this slide because what it tells me, you hear us griping about plant bugs in the Mid-South. Other than Arizona and California, it's pretty much a Mid-South problem. So I feel like a lot of times we maybe don't get the attention that we deserve because it's not a problem that persists completely across the cotton belt. So sometimes I feel like we're on an island out there just crying about it and nobody else is in there with us. But I can tell you the problem is real. Now, Ralph Bagwell introduced a couple of these topics a while ago, and I'm going to try to expand on them just a little bit. Now, a couple years ago, you wouldn't have heard us talking about BMPs a whole lot. The reason why is, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, we didn't have the trouble killing plant bugs that we do now. Now, we've always had trouble controlling plant bugs, but with resistance, you know, to acephate, pyrethroids, and other chemistries, it's even becoming more apparent. We've got to the point now that we don't have a whole lot of chemistries to start substituting in like we would like. Pretty much, if we have a year like we had last year, we run out of options very, very quickly in the Mississippi Delta. So we're beginning to reach back, way back, as far back as we can, and start trying to come up with every other available method that we can to aid in the chemistry, what we do have. These are just some of the things that we're wanting to start implementing, and these are things that are not new. It's things that we've known, that we have known for a long time, but we forget about when chemistry's working well. But when you're in a situation like we are now, you got to drag everything back out, put a system together, and hopefully what we can do is these producers can save some sprays. Host plant manipulation, Ralph talked about that a little bit. This is, you know, very similar to what the USDA is doing. We're trying to get a verification program started in the Mississippi Delta this year, small verification program. We want to start implementing some of these BMPs or demonstrating them and showing that we think we can save growers some applications, but basically killing out these broadleaf weeds. Now, the USDA has been doing it on a 9-square-mile grid. They tried to see how small they could go, and I think they figured they could go to about 4 square miles. We're going to try to work with some of these bigger producers in the area that we think we can hit somewhere around that 4-square-mile area just on their farm, and we're going to go in and we're going to try to do some of this on farm. Anything we can do to help alleviate this situation. This just shows the average number of sprays in the area-wide program, the reduction in sprays in and out of the treated zones. Basically, they saved a spray. All right, these edge effects. You've heard a lot about this. Ralph talked about it a little bit. These are things that growers can see, and when they can see it, it bothers them. And this cotton was sprayed 13 times, and we still had this edge effect. Scott Aiken just mentioned that we're starting to look into maybe some Timex side dress, maybe 30, 40 rows away from the corn. These are areas we're looking into. Growers don't like to see this. Had a grower tell me recently when he added up his edges, he made more edge sprays than he did whole field sprays because of the problem. He had 300-acre loads that he was mixing in the airplane. Some of these edge effects can be big. at least in some conceivable way, they can be managed, and the cotton can probably be in blocks. But there's some issues to overcome there with well capacities and irrigation and other things. But we can do what we can, at least make an attempt to minimize these edges the best we can. Variety selection. We have moved to late varieties. Jeff Gore brought this up at our bug symposium. This is absolutely true. We've moved to late season varieties. We've done it for a reason. They've been yielded. But if we get in situations like we were in the Mid-South this year, some of these sprays can be eliminated by simply moving to an early variety. We went through a period in Mississippi where we were early. We focused on early, then we started moving into some late maturing varieties. We have some good early maturing varieties in Mississippi. This is a study that Jeff Gore did, basically saved two sprays just by switching varieties. On that red line where you see it peaked in the 555, the 444 was cut out. So these are the things that if you start implementing in a systems approach, that you can start eliminating some sprays. We're just at the point we cannot rely on chemistry alone when it comes to plant bugs anymore. Two, three. Nectarless varieties. Nobody, as far as I know right now, has a commercial variety. I know a couple people are real close. I believe Delta Pine's pretty close to getting one out. Phytogen's working on one. Again, this is something that's been looked at for years and years. Alone, it's not an answer. By itself, it's not an answer, but when you start implementing this into other systems, it's one more step toward eliminating some sprays. This is a number of plant bugs in treated and non-treated nectarless, and this is under extreme pressure. This is not something that is great under extreme pressure, but still we saw an effect. This is a trial that Jeff Gordon conducted in Stoneville, looking at square retention, even under extreme pressure during the early part of the season, there was a benefit from nectarless varieties. Nozzle selection, we've talked about this for years. It's something we're going to have to start paying a lot more attention to. I'm not going to dwell on this a lot, but basically if you're treating insecticides, if you're spraying them, you need to treat them with, you need to use tips that are made to kill insects and not control drift with herbicides. Rotating chemistry, you've heard us talk about that for years. This just basically shows just by working a centric treatment in there, we kept the population below threshold. This is another one of Jeff Gore's trials. We'll try to wrap this one up. I didn't have time to really explain this one in the general session yesterday. We ran out of time. But this is probably, I think, one of the most critical things that we can do, or producers can, I think, if they could understand this, we wouldn't have the brakes put on us during, I'm only talking about during these high-pressure situations. We're making our sprays based on counts. But when the numbers are there and they're high as they were, we're going to have to get to a 4 to 5 day interval when the numbers are as high as we saw this year. Here's an example of this. Jeff went into a field, and I'm going to try to hurry up. I'm about to run out of time. Jeff went into a field this year, took pre-counts. He was averaging 23 nymphs on his pre-counts. He oversprayed the whole field with acephate. He knocked the numbers down to 8. Now, we've known for a long time two shots are always better than one. We've known that for a long time. So then what he did is he went in for his second shot on a 4, 5, 6, and 7 day interval after his first application. Look how quick it drops off when you start getting into 6 and 7 days after the first application. Basically, following that first application up at 4 or 5 days, we're at 100% control. It drops off significantly. Now, this is in high pressure situations, but this is critical. There was a paper published, it's been a while back, but it's basically talking about bug damage and how much damage they do to a cotton plant. And if I remember right, when they caged, it may have been Hesperus on cotton plants and looked at square loss, it was something like 1.4 to 2.1 squares per day per bug. These spray intervals are critical, or when you get to the pressure that we had this year, timely applications are critical. Now, we were backed up by airplanes and everything else, and that's nobody's fault, but these are things we can control. And it's things we're going to have to work through in the future. All right, I'm going to end right there. I just wanted to hope what I did is just kind of introduce to you some of the things that we did see in the Mid-South. Hopefully we won't see this next year. These things are cyclic with bugs. We may next year have a very light year. But based on some of the stuff we saw this year, we're fixing to have to start taking action, implementing all of these things we can into a system. And hopefully what we'll do is we'll save some of these producers some spray and keep cotton on the ground, because plant bug sprays alone in the Mississippi Delta, it's not just commodity prices. I realize commodity prices are taking a lot of our cotton ground, but we have areas in the Delta where plant bug sprays alone, coupled with spider mite sprays, is beginning to take our cotton acres. And hopefully we can implement some of these things and have a sustainable system and save our growers some money. With that, I'm going to end, and if there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Questions?
That question, I wish I had a nickel for every time I answered it, or had it, not answered it necessarily. I don't know. I think one of the biggest problems is obviously resistance. We don't see that. We can spray a pyrethroid in the hills and we can clean them up. We can make an application in the hills. We can clean up plant bugs. It just don't happen in the Delta. A lot of it has to do with resistance. Another thing, and this hasn't been published yet, but Gordon Snodgrass, who's been working on plant bugs a long time, he conducted a test, I guess about 5 years ago maybe. And what he did is he collected plant bugs in the Delta and he collected plant bugs in the hills. He collected those populations, brought them into the lab, reared them out on cotton, and measured their ability to reproduce or to live on cotton. And basically what he found was a significant increase in the ability of plant bugs in the Delta to survive on cotton compared to those in the hills. Now what he kind of gleaned from that and what he tells you is it looks like our plant bugs in the Delta are actually better adapted for cotton than those we have in the hills, and you couple that with insecticide resistance because of the high spray environment and everything else, it just leads to more problems. Yes, sir. We generally, it's somewhat of a hard question to answer. We generally treat on thresholds. Now, I will tell you that just because we hit threshold does not mean we're always going to treat. We're looking at square retention too. Now, I'm talking about early in the season. If you get in a situation like we were in, when you're coming out of the gate with 69% square retention and your levels, you're running 30%, now you know that's high. We come back. I mean, at that point, it's likely. Now, a lot of it's a hindsight science, and it's easy for me to sit here because next week I can tell you what I had. But generally, when those numbers hit like that, we're looking at big migrating populations of adults. We knew by week two what we were into. Now, I'm not going to tell you week one when we went out in the field that we knew exactly what we were up against, but by the time we got into week two, we knew well what we were into. And it was at that point that we started making recommendation to tighten these spray intervals up. The problem that we had, that a lot of consultants were telling me, because this was somewhat new, at least in recent years, that we had such high populations moving in. So some of the problem that we had is a lot of the farmers put the brakes on the consultants and said, look, now we ain't going to be going every 4 to 5 days. We just now getting this match head size cotton. So they actually put the brakes on a lot of the producers. And I mean, I understand why, but I don't know that all the producers necessarily at that time realized the scope of the problem. So we had a lot of producers telling consultants 10 days. You know, we're not coming in no sooner than 10 days right now. But we realize now in hindsight, looking back, that it was critical to move in. And I skipped over a slide because I just didn't have time. I skipped over a slide to show where we made 400 pounds more cotton when we made two sprays in a week versus three. When we made one extra spray 4 days later, we made 400 pounds of cotton. No. We generally check twice a week. So we're in the field and we know the numbers. Most of our cotton's twice a week checks. And I think I'm out of time, but I'll be around.